You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive. Well, hello.
Hey, Brandon.
How's everything going?
Good.
How was your week?
It was a long week, busy week, as is most weeks.
So, I got a question. With the new COVID and social distancing and all of that, how are you dealing with toxic friendships and relationships?
Well, you know, for me, I'm not sure that COVID, no COVID, in COVID, out of COVID matters. For me, I try to rid myself of toxic relationships at all times and identify them early on.
Okay, so let's talk about that. How do you identify a toxic relationship or friendship?
Oh, you know, I think there are red flags as the relationship is progressing that will signify that this relationship may be moving in a toxic way. Things like trying to control behavior, overly criticizing people, and that's in platonic friendships as well.
What about when the relationship, particularly friendships, are one-sided?
That can be toxic too.
Because, so, you know, we like to call it the blue-gray ratio in like text messaging, because, you know, text messaging is a very common way that people communicate now. So if your blue to gray ratio is off, then something's wrong. Right? Because if you send a text message that's two screens long and then you get an okay back, is that
that person is not
as engaged in the friendship or relationship as you are?
Especially if it's consistent. Sometimes people are busy and they can't really respond. They should say that. But and sometimes, you know, it's worth just picking up the phone if you're sending text messages that are 2-3 pages long.
Agreed.
But yeah, there's something there. And you are either feeding into something, like you're in denial that there's a problem in this relationship and you don't see it, or you're hopeful that something will change. And you may be both, but you're hopeful that something will change. If I just say the right thing, this person will respond the way that, you know, I want them to. And in fact, that doesn't happen. Like it's the person's not interested. They're not engaged.
Right. That's the key. I think in relationships, both people have to be as at least half of engaged as the other one.
Part of the challenge there is that even a relationship? Like, is it
correct?
Because if you're not engaging with someone, you know, the question is, there's a level of a relationship, but is it really a relationship that exists? And that's something I think you have to figure out. Because if it doesn't, if the person's not engaging, they don't want a relationship with you of any kind, friendship, intimate relationship, they're not interested.
Correct. But sometimes people engage you to see, because there's something that you're benefiting from. I think a lot of times when you feel like the person is less engaged, number one, you have to look at what you're benefiting from the situation. Like, how does this person add value to you? And look at how much value you add to the other person. Because if you're adding more value to that person's life and that person's adding to you, and they're not as engaged as you are, then that, to me, leads to toxicity. Because it becomes a cycle. And a lot of times when you want to step away from that situation, the other person who's benefiting more is going to grasp on to you more and more. And they're going to try to keep you coming back. So it's, again, a circle again and again and again. And the unfortunate part about it is a lot of times you don't see it because you're in the middle of the situation.
I think that's the problem most times, is the denial, the fact of you don't see it. Even once it's pointed out to you, you still can't accept that that's what it is. You always rationalize it away.
Oh, got more excuses? Yes.
You have to be careful about that, because that when you have blinders on in that way, that's how you get taken advantage of. That's how the abuse escalates, and it starts to chip away at you, your value,
and you lose yourself.
Yeah,
you lose yourself in the situation, and then before you know it, 2 and 3 years come along down the line, and you have gotten no further than you were 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one that bothers me is when people create drama in relationships, whether it's through gossip or just pick a fight, any of that. That one just, to me, that is the ultimate toxicity in a relationship.
It is. It is, because it starts with, I'm going to go through your phone. And my grandmother always said, if you look for something, you're going to find
it. You will. I've had that, my personal experience with that.
So you go look and you're going to find it. And then you mad. And you roll up on that person. And then an argument ensues. And then depending on the tempers of both, police get called. Folks got to go to court. And you look up, you got to go bail somebody out of jail, and you look up and they back at the same spot they was in when you picked them up 2 days ago.
And my thing is, if you looked in their phone or you looked on their computer or going through their pockets or whatever it is, you had a suspicion. Something led you to even want to do that, right? So just ask the person. Say, something feels a little bit off. Can we talk about what I'm experiencing? I feel like you're disconnected or things don't add up.
Right.
And if they are not open to the conversation, that should be sufficient for you to make a decision.
Correct. And go with your first mind.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people have what I like to call the gift of discernment. And you just know when something ain't right. Use that. Lean on that. I have learned that I have a very, very strong gift of discernment. I asked the question the other day, and I looked in this person's eyes. I said, "You lying?" and she looked at me and she said, "How do you know that?" I said, "I looked in your eyes. I could tell you lying. Don't start lying. Don't start lying now. I'm giving you the opportunity to fess up. Now, don't start that. Because, see, I looked at you, and I said, you ain't got a poker face worth nothing. And then someone else was standing there with me, and she, the other young lady, was like, how did you know that? I said, I don't know. Something just told me you were lying. So it's just, go with your gift of discernment. A lot, a lot of people have that. Because in the end, you have to worry about yourself and protect yourself. And I know it sounds selfish, but sometimes for self-preservation, you have to be selfish, because you don't want to be taken advantage of. But you also don't want to have to go searching and then end up in the whole scenario where the police are called and they're all up in your business now. And then because you know you're going to go back.
And when you start getting to those experiences where it's involving law enforcement, or you're having to involve, like, things are getting broken, there's physical abuse, money is missing, things like that, it is just time to get out. That is, you've reached a different level of toxicity in a relationship. And at that point, you need to seek help through a friend, a hotline, or organizations in the neighborhood, anything. You just need to seek help in those instances.
So let's talk about different levels of toxicity.
Okay.
Because toxicity can be very, very subtle. And it can go on for a long time before you could detect it.
Oh, yeah.
So the subtle toxicity that I'm actually referring to is stuff like we were talking about, the lack of as much engagement, the text messaging, the blue to gray ratio that seems to be a little off. A lot of times, if we go back to our last Let's Be Clear episode, that passive aggressiveness.
Oh, yes.
That, and you'd be like, nah, you spoke to my friend and you just said, what now? Oh, I'm just playing. Exactly. No, you wasn't playing. You wasn't playing. You got jokes, but you wasn't playing. And those type of things you have to look at, because that's your subtle toxicity. And then I guess the next level would be the kind of that medium where you'd say, okay, there is absolutely an engagement problem here. And I am texting and calling you way too much. And then the excuse is, oh, I'm sorry, I was just busy. I've been real busy.
Mm-hmm. I would say also in that medium piece is when people are, you know, jealous, trying to compete with you. They're trying to keep score. They gaslight you. Things like that. Those are in that medium bracket.
Like, for example, if you got a friend and every time you call this friend and tell them your good news, they downplay it or have to match news for news. Mm-hmm. They don't let you shine in that moment. Let me have my moment.
Mm-hmm. And they can't be happy for you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we call a hater.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hood simplified form of hateration. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. But that's your medium. That's going to be pretty obvious. And it usually progresses from that subconscious level, the first level of toxicity, to medium. Because it's a progression. You're not going to start in medium. Because medium is going to set off every alarm. You're going to notice the medium immediately.
And, you know, I feel like, though, when you experience that, you're talking to a friend, you're trying to share your good news, and they just cannot be happy for you, or they want to compete or undermine what you're talking about. More often than not, it is not about you.
It is about them and what
they have experienced.
It's typically
and what they feel.
A self-confidence issue.
Yes.
And I've got to remember, people don't deal with failure the same.
Mm-hmm.
And because some people look at failure like it's, oh, it's just a roadblock, it's a learning experience, and you move on. And then some people look at failure like it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the self-confidence becomes very, very vulnerable. Like, it's like skating on a piece of thin ice. At what point is it going to break? So they can't let you have your moment.
They can't. And they are dealing and wrestling with decisions that they made. For example, I had a situation where it was a group of us. We were all friends and we would hang out. And one person in this group in particular had decided to commit her time to an organization and doing, you know, volunteer stuff and just sacrificing a lot of her time for the organization and for what the organization needed. While some of us were like, oh, you know, I'm going to go back to school. People got married, people had children. And so they spent a lot of time focusing on their personal and professional goals and not so much trying to climb within a particular organization. When it was all said and done, fast forward a few years, this individual felt very isolated, felt like she hadn't accomplished anything because other people had gotten married, had children, had got promotions at jobs, gotten doctorates, gotten law degrees, all kinds of things. And she just felt like she couldn't compete, which was the language that she used. And that, you know, she had spent all this time focused on the organization while we were out living our lives. And I kept thinking in my mind, how is that my problem?
Well, and also, if you go back to our episode one, we talked about success, and everybody has a different definition of success. So at the time, that was her definition of success, and you all had a separate definition of success. So you cannot gauge your success on others, because when you do that, you will always, always end up on the losing end of that.
And you made a choice.
Correct.
You made the choice based off of what you thought was important to do X. Some people make a choice to start a business and throw themselves into their business. And while they're doing that, other people are off doing. So you cannot compare yourself to people. But without getting feelings of jealousy and envy. And when that is present in a relationship, whether it's intimate or platonic, it will be a toxic relationship. It will breed resentment. It will breed hatred for the other person. And as long as that's present, that's a toxic relationship. And you need to pull back from each other for a while.
Well, and that's the third level, and probably the most severe of toxicity, when there is hatred. when there's law enforcement involved, when there's envy, jealousy, and it's outright and it's speaking, you're saying that. When I can walk up to somebody and say, I am very envious of you, and because of that, I hate you, that's a level of toxicity. I can't fool with you. Because at that point,
it's usually not that blunt, but there are markers that signify that.
And sometimes it is, though, because sometimes you have that blow up conversation because you can call them out and they're going to tell you exactly why. But at that point is when I start to feel sorry for the other person, because like you said, it's not about you. It's about that person and their self-confidence. So, and I think that when you feel bad for them is when you start to the cycle of, okay, well, I get it. So let's talk about it. Let's work through it. When you should be saying, okay, you need to work through it and let me walk away for a little while. Because as long as you're in the middle of the toxicity and you're the focus of envy, you can't help that person. Because you say, every time you say something, they're going to say, you're selfish, you think you're smarter than me, and all that. Yeah. And it's going to be like, okay, I can't help you at this point.
And if you are not the aggressor in the toxic relationship, when you do pull back, I think that's the time for you to reflect on how you got there. How did things get there? Could things have been handled differently? And then you have to realize how much of yourself you will give and continue to give in relationships. You know, Brandon, I can be a very private person, so I don't share a lot of things. And I've actually had people that I'm close to say things like, I didn't even know you were doing that. And I have learned over the years, everybody can't handle your success, your hardships, your failures. And so I'm always negotiating in my relationships. What can I share? What can I share?
And you know, another piece of that too is, you know, social media can breed toxicity. Social media, people get all wrapped up in it. Because when they see other people doing these certain things, doing this and doing that, they think, oh, that person think they the bomb, they got it going on. Well, people put on social media what they want you to see.
A lot of it is smoke and mirrors.
It is. Yeah. It is. So, I mean, I can make you think I love somebody from the ends of the earth. And then I'm picking the phone, calling my best friend saying, you better come get this one. But you would never know that by looking at it on social media. Because I'm telling you, I got some friends that's got some interesting situations going on behind the scenes. And when you look on social media, you'd be like, nah, is that the same folk that I just saw? Okay. That's why I put about a grain of salt at most into social media.
You know how old school used to say you ought to look better than you feel?
Correct.
That's how I feel about social media. People project better than what's actually happening and what's going on and what they're experiencing. And I feel like if you really know someone, you often know the story behind the post.
Correct.
You're kind of like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing.
Right.
You just go.
Right.
The best picture out of the 400 that you took, I get it, girl.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and then, you know, I'm petty sometimes, especially with my close friends. So, especially if I know the background and the joke, the behind the scenes situation, I might put a little emoji at the bottom that explains the situation better than the picture. And somebody will say, stop playing. I already know your situation. So I know that this is smoke and mirrors. But you have to have the relationship with someone to do that. Because I can do that to my best friend and he think it's hilarious because he know we know the background of each other's lives. He'll do me the same way. He was like, now you know that wasn't as easy as that looked. I said, no, it wasn't. It was real painful. But that's when you know that you don't have toxicity. When you can have those type of conversations and you can have the relatability to someone and you might not always get along. Because I can tell you, me and my best friend, we'll go round and round. But in the end, we are not going to say anything to hurt each other purposely. And we know in the end, I might not have liked what you said, but you said it because it was in my best interest.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What are those things that you would recommend to thrivers to do to address toxicity in the relationship?
Do a self-evaluation first, because sometimes you can be the toxic piece and don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Because it may not be the relationship that's really causing you to be toxic. It may be some outside sources, but you need to figure out what is really going on. Is it you or is it the other person? And typically it's a shared piece.
Yeah.
So, because typically there's an aggressor and then you're going to respond in an aggressive way back. So you both are toxic at that point. So first do a self-eval. Where are you? How do you feel about it? What's the problem? Mm-hmm. And second, you don't have to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And just say, look, now, this is something that I am noticing. And me, you better than this.
Right.
What's going on and how can we fix it? And then if that does not go well, which hopefully it will, if you truly have that bond and that relationship, step three is walking away. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to say, okay, I have to look at me and protect me. And I love me more than I love you. I love you, but I love me more than I love you. And so step three is walking away. Because I got to go.
I like that. I like that.
So it's a progressive thing. You have to start with self first. You always do introspection, then have that conversation. And depending on how the conversation goes, you just may need to either come up with a plan to fix it. Mm-hmm. Back to that episode two planning stages, or walk away. And I think that's something that you have to decide for yourself. And just make the decision.
Yeah.
And either way, it's okay. It is.
And if you were intertwined like heavily, like maybe you lived with the person or you saw the person and talked to that person every day, you have to figure out how to fill that void when you do walk away.
Right.
Find some positive way. So otherwise, it's like a drug. You'll keep going back.
It's that cycle.
Oh, I miss this person. Yeah. So you have to figure out how to fill that time, that energy, that space with something positive.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
let
us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails, because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with, because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.